Heather McDonald has got the juicy scoop. When you're on the road, when you're on the go, Juicy Scoop is the show to know. She talks Hollywood tales, her real life Mr. Segment Serial Data and Serial Sister. You'll be addicted and addicted fast to the number one tabloid real life podcast. Listen in, listen up. Woo, woo. Heather McDonald, Juicy Scoop.
Hello and welcome to Juicy Scoop. I hope you had a great Halloween. We're into November, full-blown fall. I will be in New York this weekend. Still a handful of tickets for the second show on Friday with Chris Frangiola. Then I'm off to Boston, Atlanta, and Nashville. Everything at heathermcdonald.net. Get those tickets. And now I just want to give you an update on the tragedy that happened out of New Mexico. An accidental, horrible shooting death of Helena Hutchins, the cinematographer who was working on this movie, Rust, as you know, and Alec Baldwin thought he had a cold gun, which means no ammunition at all. He was practicing his move, shot her dead, as well as injuring the actual director. A couple things have transpired. There just was a news conference that happened that I just listened to, and it really is very scary. So they said no one's been ruled out. There absolutely was a real bullet that went out of that gun of Alex that shot and killed Miss Hutchins. Mrs. Hutchins, she was married with a 9-year-old. And so they are really just trying to figure out how this happened. We know that there were people doing like shooting practicing. I don't know if it was for fun earlier in the day or the day before. So was somehow the guns mixed up. Alec claims that it was the AD who had another incident where he did something wrong with firearms in 2019. He was immediately fired, but I don't even think this movie's coming back at all to finish it. He's the one who said this is a cold gun. So, and then, of course, we have the 24-year-old girl who was in charge of the armory on the set. And so there's three people, they said, handled the gun. The AD, the young 24-year-old woman that worked in that prop department of armory, and, of course, Alec. So, then there's been other conversation that the AD had argued with Helena about the poor treatment of some of the people on set, that Helena was supposedly, upset that some of these people had walked off set because of the way they were being treated. And then, of course, they had to scramble and get extra crew members that day. They did the scene later than they'd planned. There were all these other factors that I've discussed before. So it's very, very terrible and tragic. And the TMZ caught up with Alec and his family. I guess they were driving in his neighborhood on the East Coast. And Alec and Hilaria, his wife, decided to pull over and just talk to the TMZ interviewer to just say, please stop following us. I'll answer your questions. Stop following us. We've got the six or five, I don't know if she's five or six kids in the car, and some of them are upset. Can we just get this over with? So Hilaria also got out of the car, and she was filming the TMZ guy, probably just for their own protection. And Alec, it was really sad. He is devastated. He's like, she was my friend. We all went out to dinner, the first night on set. We've worked on other things before. I'm absolutely devastated. I've met with her husband, and he's beyond, overwhelmed with grief. And, it was just sort of interesting, the dynamic, which I think anybody can relate to that's married, but like she's being protective of him because he kept saying to the TMZ person, I have absolutely could not answer any questions about this. It's an ongoing investigation. I'm told I can't answer anything, but what are your other questions? And of course the TMZ guy is like trying to ask questions and she's like trying to stop him. And he's like, let me finish. Let me answer the question to her. So it's just, I don't know. I really, really feel just horrible about the whole situation. That's where it is with that. So we're going to find out more. And But they did say we can't rule anyone out. That's what the police said this morning. So that makes me think, like, is someone going to be held more responsible than just the production in whole as a whole, and the, you know, insurance and studio would be the one that would be the only responsible party? Or are they actually going to somehow, you know, point out someone that they believe is really the individual that's responsible? Other news that happened on Friday and on. Zayn Malik, who is the baby daddy boyfriend of Gigi Hadid, they never got married, but they have a one-year-old child together. And apparently Gigi was not there. Yolanda came over to talk to him or see the baby or something. Some type of argument ensued in which Yolanda said that he pushed her into a dresser and called her a Dutch slut. And he has since just made a statement and said, you know, I've been having issues with my partner's family. I'm not even going to fight these allegations. Whatever. This is just not good. So they have now broken up. All of Hadid's brother and sister, Anwar and Bella have stopped following him. And then Bella made some kind of a cryptic message. She said she posted a cryptic message with all the drama and said, I can do nothing for you but work on myself. But then it was deleted later. And you can do nothing for me but work on yourself. Well, now, I don't really think that this has to do with them. I don't think this has to do with anything. Another article I saw is that, is Bella Hadid bringing back the thin 90s eyebrows? So maybe that is, she was referring to that. I do nothing for you but work on myself. She's talking to her eyebrows. You can do nothing for me but work on yourself. Shape your own art. I don't know. I'm just saying, I don't think that cryptic tweet had to do, unfortunately, with the trauma and drama that her family is going through with Gigi and her, you know, and the baby and all that. Anyway, it's very sad to see that this is going on, but who knows? Very strange. Okay, Erica Jane is looking to date a guy with money. Big shocker. She's also will go younger. She said the younger she'll go is 25. Okay. Well, good luck to finding a rich person who's 25. Okay, that wants to date you. Okay. Also, Tom Girardi is accused of now listing $261 million net worth on a 2020 loan doc. So he was taking out all these loans. We know that. That's part of the people coming after him. These law firm, these loans, law loans, like for the law firm. And then he wouldn't pay that back. And it was like, but then he was partial owner. He had some interest in these companies that loaned the money. It's all being figured out. And it's pretty technical and pretty financial. But the point is, he claimed that he and his firm had a net worth of $261 million. And now today, in 2021, supposedly there's absolutely no money at all except the $105 I spent on this coat rack at the Girardi and Keys sale of all their law firm stuff. So, you know, that's just another thing that's going to be examined. Dubai is going to have their own Real Housewives. And Caroline Stanbury, that name might be familiar for some of you. I never really watched the Ladies of London, but she was a star of Ladies of London. She since got divorced and has been living in Dubai for quite a few years. She makes little appearances on other shows, and she's friends with other celebrities and whatnot. And we don't know who else is going to be in the show. We did see one little photo today that Cosmo posted, but then it was removed. So maybe it was a preemptive thing and they realized they weren't supposed to share the other women. It looked diverse, you know, of a cast. So that's good. But I don't know, are we really going to see, you know, women who live in Dubai and are living a religious Muslim life? Or is it just going to be women like Caroline who went there and are in, you know, enjoying it and have their own business and live a life of like a Westerner in Dubai? I don't know. But everybody complains that the housewives are not rich enough for them. So hopefully these people won't be disappointed. Hopefully you'll all see enough Gucci and Yves Saint Laurent and, you know, plastic surgery and whatever else you need to satisfy your needs. And this will save everybody from their misery. I don't know. Of course, I'll be watching. But I'm sure they'll go on a camel ride. I'm sure they'll go to the top of some really high buildings. And it would be kind of fun to, like, I wonder what production company. I assume it's one over there. I don't think, like, there's people coming from L.A. to go be the cameraman over there. But that would be kind of a juicy story. All right. So, sadly, as you know this already, I'm sure that Dorit from Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, her house in Encino, she was robbed. She was woken up at 10:50 at night by three men in her bedroom who then said they had a gun, though she said she never saw the gun. The children were safe in their rooms and were never awoken, thank goodness. And PK was not there, and I guess she was alone in the house. I don't know if there's any I don't know if there's any nanny or housekeeper there. It doesn't sound like there was. She has this big black metal, you know, glass doors that are part of the, you know, redos of everyone doing these modern farmhouses, and they broke into the classroom door. It's a door that I guess was a little room that in which she did the homeschooling during COVID there, and that's why they called the classroom door. They got in that way, but she claims to have said, "I've never seen. I actually saw the gun, but they threatened to kill me, and they said they had a gun. They said, lead us to the jewels." She did that, and they took off with enough jewelry and accessories, as described in the report, adding up to $1 million in valuables, which, as you know, it's in the home. There's home insurance, so they will get that money back for insurance. And she has gone, you know, is saying, thank you for the love and support, but I'm just going to continue to, you know, act normal and everything for the sake of my children. They're also filming. So, you know, believe me, this is going to be juicy content. And hopefully she's getting, it seems like her brother came into town playing basketball with the kids and all the housewives came over. And it's really, really terrifying. And there is so much crime going on right now in LA. And part of it is if you break into these homes and you don't hurt anyone and you don't actually have a gun, then even if these people get caught, they'll be in much, much less trouble than had they broken into the house with a gun. So people are now just breaking into homes and not coming with weapons or saying they will, or don't ever assume that they don't. But it's really sad. And as you know, they mentioned the night before about all of her Gucci clothes and everything, that she does buy at full price, that she does not resell it, and that she's saving it for her daughter. But I don't think they were taking off with a bunch of skirts and jackets and hats and scarves. It was jewelry and expensive bags, but it added up to $1 million, apparently. And now for a very juicy conversation. We get into this a little bit more as well with Kristen Takeman, former Real Housewife of New York and model. Now she lives in LA, and we had a lot of fun getting into all the juicy scoop of everything Housewives and more. Hello and welcome to Juicy Scoop. I'm very excited to have model, mother, and former Real Housewives of New York, Kristen Takeman, now a local Calabasas girl. Welcome to the West Coast and to the Juicy Scoop headquarters.
Yay! I'm so excited. I'm literally right around the corner, and I'm so thrilled to be here. I got parking on the street. I'm like,
you can go to Target after.
I was just going to say I'm actually going to Michael's after. Close enough.
That's very good. A fun afternoon planned by all. You came looking very stylish.
Thanks.
You have what I love, these leather pants are much like, I would say they're much like the, what am I jealous of? Your ugly leather pants.
Oh my God, so funny. And they're honestly the same pants, I'm sure. I love it.
Are they ALS?
No.
Oh, no. Was it ALS? Yeah, right.
Is that what she said? Did they say that?
Yeah, that's what she said they were. So Crystal funny. Said they were those. But I like the kind of jogger style.
I do too. I like it.
They're flattering. They're comfortable. Like, yeah. It's a little bit of a different lift. It's not up your crotch.
Hello.
I want to go get a pair.
Aritzia. I was just in New York for 2 weeks. Ugh. So I like fulfilled all my fashion dreams. I worked. I was modeling. I literally like had like a 5-day booking and spent all my money on leather pants. So I like literally I was like, okay, that's great. Like I went there to work, but I literally shopped it away. So whatever. I have to live my best New York life in Los Angeles.
I want to get into your whole life story, but let's just go first. Just do a couple super like, what was your thoughts when you heard about Dorit?
Oh my gosh. Well, I instantly.
Let me just yeah. So everyone knows. But Dorit's, she woke up at like 10:50 at night. She was asleep. Her kids were in the house. PK was gone. I don't know if there were any other like housekeepers or anybody I haven't heard. They broke through one of the glass doors. They have all those glass doors with the black framing and were at the edge of her bed. Three of them. I believe she said there was a gun, or at least they told her it was a gun and said, why don't you kill her? And they took off with $100,000 worth of goods. And, you know, obviously really crazy because the night before The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, third episode of the reunion, he asked, is all of your designer clothes real or are they on loan? No, they're real.
Oh my
and
God.
I own them and I'm keeping them for my daughter. And then the next day this happened.
I mean, the first thing I thought about was Kim Kardashian, obviously,
yes.
Which is beyond scary.
And very similar, yeah.
And then other things, too. Kyle was also robbed, right? Or no, she wasn't home.
She wasn't home.
Thank God.
It's very, very bizarre and very strange. And, you know, some of the strange things are 10:50 is pretty early. So did they think that she wasn't home? Because I think if you're going to break into a home in the middle of the night, you would wait later.
Yeah. God, I don't even think that way. I just want to say, too, this is something that I think about in terms of the housewives.
Yes.
In New York City, they always showed the facade of another building.
Yes.
I remember seeing – they never told us that, but I remember seeing my first season, and I was like, that's not my building. I know exactly where that – I know that building, and that's in Battery Park. I was in Tribeca. So in
The Kardashians would always show a facade of another house.
They would.
The first season when they were at their first house that looked like the cute ranch,
yep.
That was their house.
Okay.
And then after that, once Kris moved to her other house, they always showed this facade.
Right, right.
Which, and then I don't know what they did in the later years. But and then I know with certain with the OC – I don't know if I don't know if they showed the outdoor side of it. I think that they did.
Okay.
I also know people can find you.
I was just thinking that
like,
too.
My son, I was like, could someone find me? Because I'm not behind gates. He found it with a photo within seconds.
Oh my God, it's so scary.
And the house was listed and it was listed for lease. And we saw it a lot. So people can find you. I know people are now blaming another blogger that posted some latest like LLC that they signed up for her and PK kind of exposing. I don't know why that would be an expose. And, you know, did that spark where the address is? Like I said, the address was out there.
Yeah. Okay.
I think they knew whose house they're breaking into is my point.
I mean, it's just beyond. It's so scary. I mean, it's like at the end of the day, that's why I think about Kim. It's like, does she put a lot? I don't really watch her social media, but
well,
is
now,
she super?
Now I believe she has like full-time security.
As of last night, you mean? Or
before? Oh, no, Kim. I thought you were talking about...
Oh, no, Kim.
For Kim, I know Kim did change her life to an extent. Now, I think maybe the first couple of years... Now I think she's back to, like, you know, wearing her stuff. Maybe I don't think she posts about it.
I think
she does have personal security of the house. Then they're also behind the gates at Hidden Hill.
Right,
so that's like a double thing.
So wait, is Dorit not in a gated community?
No.
Do we know that? She's not.
No. No, Encino's just like, you know, and neither was Kyle.
Oh, that's true.
So you can have a gate around your house or whatever, which I don't even know if she has, but people can get in.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, it's just really, really terrifying. And, you know, I even saw that this one blogger was like, I used to post, you know, as a fashion blogger, what things retail for because you're curious.
Yeah.
Like you see someone's Gucci blouse, what is that?
Yeah.
And she's like, I'm not going to do that with housewives anymore.
Mm.
I don't think it's safe anymore. And a lot of the women, Dorit being one of them, would do all her Zooms for a year and a half from her beautiful closet where she could, because it was fun to look at.
Yeah,
it's quiet. That's where she set up her Zoom. So you'd have all the shoes and all the handbags. And
I have an idea.
Yes.
Why don't we just buy a little less Gucci a month and hire a security team? What do we think? Because she could afford it if she's buying all that stuff.
I mean, here's the thing. I've heard different things. So I heard that she said, no, I bought it all and I'm keeping it.
Yeah.
And I heard that she got it early, like she got the hottest stuff so that when she'd be wearing it, it would be available to the customers. However, she still had to pay for it. Mm-hmm. And then I heard that sometimes she would return it. And then, no, but you can't return it. And she made it very clear, I'm not getting a deal. And from people that I know really buy high end, you really don't get a deal no matter who you are.
That's what I'm saying. How do you have nobody has a connection, like a hookup at Gucci. What's that hookup? That doesn't exist.
And I guess you don't want to admit that you sell your stuff secondhand or real. But I don't understand how the amount of clothes she has that you, even with several closets, that you could keep it.
I know.
At a certain point, it doesn't make sense. No. You should go to the Real mm-hmm. or secondhand store.
Which I hope she does. And I don't know why she wouldn't admit that. There's nothing wrong with that. She's already worn it on TV. You're not going to wear it, save it for your daughter. I mean, you're not saving it all.
You need every Gucci jog suit from the last 5 years?
No. I mean, it's beyond. I mean, my thing is, when I was on the show, I hired a stylist. So I had like full-time hair and makeup, which I feel like I was one of the first ones to do that. I'm not going to lie, especially on New York. And like you could interview any of those girls. I brought that hair and makeup. Now they don't even.
Okay, so when you did the show, okay, now let's just talk about how the show started for you.
Right.
So your background is, where did you grow up?
Farmington, Connecticut.
Okay.
I love my little town. Yeah. I'm very proud of it.
And did you go right into modeling after high school?
I finished high school early to start modeling. So I started at 14, got my braces off. Yeah. So at 16,
Were you discovered 15. Or did you just know that you had the look?
It was like, long story short, it was like, you know, lots of family members, you should model. And like, what does that really mean? Like, how many times it's like people say to you, you should model or your daughter.
How many times?
Or,
oh, my God.
Oh, stop.
And so many times.
Look at how tall and stunning you are. So stop it. Okay. I'm sure you modeled.
No, I tried and they said no.
Oh, stop.
I did. I spent one Monday. I had a cousin that actually kind of looked like you. And she was a successful model. She did Ford. She traveled all around. Yeah. And we had a family reunion. At the time, she was maybe like 22 or something, working model.
Yeah.
And I was like 18. And she was like, I think you should do it. What you do is this is now a long time ago. She's like, don't spend money on like a photographer or anything. Just take some really good snapshots.
Yeah.
And Polaroids. Go on, what do you call it?
Casting. Go-see.
Yeah. Do a go-see. And like, I looked it up, I got all the places on a Monday from Sunset, all these modeling places, which probably don't even exist that much anymore.
We do.
Okay.
So I still have a modeling agency on Sunset.
Okay. So I went to whatever that one was.
LA Models, probably.
Yeah. And they all just were like, not right now. Or they did say get professional photos. Yeah. One person had me walk and they're like, you have a good walk, but I just didn't have the face. Like, okay. I just didn't. But I mean, I think I kind of had the skinny body for it or the tall. Yeah. I was tall then. I mean, I was tall now.
Yeah.
But I was tall and I think I could wear the type of clothes. But then to go to the next thing was so expensive. Mm-hmm, then you're putting out like $1,000 or more for a photo shoot, which was enormous amount of money.
Yeah, which is what my mom dealt with. She was like, okay, that's crazy. I make it very short because it's like whatever. So there was like a Hilton Hotel situation where there was literally an ad in the paper. And this is in like the mid-90s.
Okay.
And my mom's like, listen, you know, if you can really do this, let's go to this little thing. We know it's like a crock or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, we know it's a sham. So you go, and if you get to the next level, you literally – they took pictures of you like at like a hotel ballroom situation, like a place where people get married.
And this is when you're 14.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And so anyway, so we went, and then they said, okay, phone in later today, and we'll let you know if you're going to get to the next level, where then you have the privilege of paying us to take your photograph.
Okay.
So at least my mom knew back in the day. She's like, okay, this is like totally not where you
shouldn't
need
have to pay. Yeah.
Exactly. So anyway, so got to the next level, and then my mom said, okay, I'm going to start researching this. And there's – you remember John Casablancas?
Yes, of course.
So John Casablancas –
I did John Robert Powers.
Oh, so it's the same. Okay. So John Casablancas had these modeling schools, and he still technically does. So I have a mother agent in Connecticut, and she is still my mother agent to this day. So
you call her a mother agent. Why? Because you were under 18, and
So a mother agent for a model is the person who sort of discovered you and has like taken you under her wing. So she still every buddy that Elsev that I've been placed with, to this day, she still makes a small commission off of me.
Well, that's kind of great.
So a lot of people have their mom as their mother agent. So you get to announce. So like if you had your daughter starts modeling or whatever, you know, or my daughter starts modeling or whatever, I can claim her my mother agent. I'm her mother agent. Yes. So then you get this commission. It's sort of like being a manager.
I mean,
or whatever.
You did create her.
Exactly. No, I know. But anyway, so her name's Tina and she's amazing. So she's guided me to this day. I got to tell you, I've called that woman numerous times. Tina, you know, like I was with Ford Models and the Ford Models division in New York before I got the show, they closed their sophisticated division. That's what we call it. I call it the old lady division personally. Yeah, it's like 40 plus or whatever. It's like their sophisticated division. They closed it. So there was literally like 50, 60 girls my age looking for new representation in Manhattan.
Oh.
And it was like I caught word early that they were going to can our division. And I was like, Tina, oh my God. And she like set me up with appointments. And then I ended up with New York Models and LA Models. So it worked out. But, you know, she still has my back. I had a call with her last week.
So, yeah. Okay, so then you started modeling as a teenager.
Yeah, so finished high school early, moved to New York City, and then I was with Elite at the time, and they sent me to Europe. So I did, in a nutshell, 3 months in Italy, and then I lived in Paris for 3 years. Like, literally, you name the place, I've modeled there, like, including Egypt at the base of the pyramids.
Okay, let's talk about those juicy years.
I know, so great. Which is why I'm still happily married. I just, you know what I mean? Like that to me was like my college years. Like I didn't go to college, you know, and I really traveled and lived. It was really fantastic.
Was it scary?
No. Do you know why it wasn't scary? This is so cheesy. Yeah. Just goes to show you, like, I feel like I'm still so like wholesome at my roots. Heather, it wasn't scary because I feel now that I'm a mom and experienced life to its fullest and whatever. I had a great foundation. And I feel like when you grow up with a really great foundation, an awesome mom, an awesome dad, parents are still together, an awesome foundation of that like family support. And it's not like we had a ton of money, but my dad was like, here's my credit card, you know. Like, I always had this feeling that—
You always had a safety net.
Oh, my God, totally. Yeah. But it was also just, like, I knew that if I would ever get in trouble or if anything bad happened, my dad would get on an airplane and he'd find me in Egypt. Or, I mean, I know that's naive to say, but, you know, more like Milan, you know.
Yeah.
And then he always just told me, too. He's like, if you ever get mixed up in drugs and alcohol or anything like that, or, you know, if I get wind of something bad happening to you, like something that I'm doing— He just told me that he'd go there and get me and drag me home by my hair.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And it was like scared me in the right way.
Right.
Know?
And it is true. And I do think that unfortunately a common denominator of people that get addicted, it's because they have that experience getting high and the release of not feeling the trauma that may have happened in their childhood is gone, and then they like that.
Yeah.
Versus someone that doesn't have childhood trauma, gets high or gets drunk or whatever, they still could get addicted, but there's less of a chance because it's a different experience.
Yeah,
it's a one-night fun time.
Yeah, totally.
It's not this, I finally feel normal, you know?
And then I think the other thing with that too, because I've like really thought about it over the years, you know, is I picked really great guys to date. I dated awesome guys. Like, you know, like one of my first French boyfriends in Paris, I'm still friends with him to this day. Josh has met him. His name's Patrick. He's awesome. You know, like I'll go to Paris now. I could go with you and we would have dinner with Patrick. Like he's that great.
I want to go to Paris with you. I've never been to Paris.
What?
I want to go with someone that knows where to go and do
it. How is that possible?
This is funny because someone was saying this because I was just on this cruise. They're like, how is that possible? Okay, it's this is how it's possible.
Okay.
I grew up here and my parents were always working. So there were never these times where like, do you summer in Europe?
Yeah.
Like, first of all, I don't know that we'd want to spend the money on that. But also we didn't know how to do it.
And I get it.
They never wanted to leave their real estate listings. Then when I got into college, I wanted to do semester at sea, but I was enjoying college so much, I didn't want to miss a whole semester of fun.
I get it.
So then after, I then had a job, and then I was like, I just was always doing stuff.
Yeah.
But I then got to an age where I'm like, well, I don't want to do the poor, like, hospice stuff.
Yeah.
And I didn't never had, like, someone setting it up for me, like, the four of us are going.
Yeah.
We have to go.
Right.
I just never had that. And then come 30, I had kids.
Yeah, I get it.
And then a job. And so now I keep referring to, like, I'm in the third chapter of my life.
Yeah, I'm
My
with
oldest
you.
Is 15, and I'm like, now yeah. I am ready mm-hmm. to do this, and yeah. I want to do
and
it
the right,
right.
Way.
And
yeah.
I want to do it right. Agreed. And I want to go to the places I want to go, not the one, like, where I'm going to have, like, Catholic guilt that I didn't visit this, like, monumental place. I just yeah. want to go to the pretty places,
yeah.
the cool places, yeah. the things I've – so we'll go to Paris.
Yay.
And you'll have to take me shopping.
Oh, my gosh. So great. It's such a great place. It's a great – yeah, it's awesome. There's, like, certain places you just have to go.
You'll have Paris to tell me how to get through customs because I just had a horrible experience, but oh I don't want to talk about it. Anyway, yeah. I don't know that I ever want to buy – I may not buy anything. I just want to have fun. Okay. So in your – so there was no – creepy come on this yacht and be
oh girl I was on yachts, it just wasn't creepy.
Really? Okay. Oh, yeah. So nobody like Saudi Arabian wanting you
no.
to be their wife?
No
But did you know girls in that situation?
Yes all the Russian girls. I hate to say that, but
what happened? They got
sucked
into it?
I just like there was
it?
Like, you know, you're between the ages of like 14 and, you know, 17 modeling in Paris, and you're in a model house, and, you know,
meaning
like
all the girls live together.
Yeah. So there okay. was a model house, and there was one woman who ran the model house, and it was like a huge, it was almost like equivalent to a, it was actually a house in the 16th arrondissement in Paris. So it was like, it was sort of like a suburb of Paris.
Yeah.
But it was in the proper boundaries, but it wasn't like in the center. So it'd yeah. be like, it would be like living on the Upper East Side or something. You know what I mean? You're not in Soho.
Yeah.
So it was a huge house. And there was all these different levels. And like, you know, if you had seniority and you were there a little while, then you'd get like, you'd put in for like the good room that was a single. But I think I had like two other girls that I was living with. So that was the model equivalent
so
to college.
It's like a sorority house.
100% a sorority house. But you're all, can you imagine? Like
and we
all,
had a house mother too.
Yeah. Oh, there you yeah, go. Yeah. yeah. And like the refrigerator, you open it and you put your name on the
yes,
milk
yeah, yeah.
and all that crap. Yeah. Like your cereal. You're like, who ate my, you know, cereal or whatever.
But was nobody was eating, right? Because
yeah.
they're all models.
I did though. Yeah. Let me tell you. And it came out later. That yeah, a lot of girls like guys they
suffered.
Get sent home,
yeah,
you know all that good stuff. Because so we were young.
That they what
got sent home?
Oh, because yeah. they had yeah. eating disorders yeah. or because they gained weight?
Well, both.
Oh,
but you know the eating disorders. It's like
yes,
you know, there was like all girls' names on the milk and everything and all the stuff in the fridge, and it was like this one girl just never put her name on anything. I mean, you know, it got serious. I'm not. I don't mean to laugh.
No,
just,
I know.
It
I
was
know.
A very long time ago.
Yes, yes.
But,
oh no!
Yeah, I know. So that happened.
But, and what? Yeah. But also, was it ever competition in that you'd go out for the same job and your friend would get it and you wouldn't get it and you're sleeping next to them in the room? Or
no, that never really happened. It's so funny because I had these jobs last week and I coincidentally worked with two other girls each time that were blonde, and it's always a joke. It's been a joke with Brandy and I for years that like
Brandy Glanville.
Yes. Yeah. Brandy, yeah. So that we don't, as a model, you just don't have any blonde friends because you always work with a brunette. Like, it's very rare to have a blonde friend. So Brandy and I actually never worked together, so that's how we're friends.
Okay.
But you know what I mean? Because it's like, there's no competition. Like, you're brunette, I'm blonde. Like, if they're looking for a brunette, they book you if they're looking for a blonde. So it wouldn't be like you or me.
Right.
It would be like different categories. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So you could not have another white, blonde,
no.
fair-eyed
nope,
friend.
No, nope, exactly.
Yes.
Not in, yeah. I mean, back then, I don't know. It's just different.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not like it is now.
No, I
yeah,
know.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
But I mean, it's true because yeah. I even remember my sister's
it's so funny.
Son. I don't know how. He entered like children's pageants.
Okay. Wow. Oh, my God. That's amazing. That's cool, though.
Oh, it was. But she, because there were so few boys in it back then.
Oh, I'm sure.
My sister was the most popular with all the other moms because they were like, we only want to be friends with a boy mom because
yeah.
there's literally only
oh.
two boys in this competition, but there's like 20 girls.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So like she was like the belle of the ball
I
because there was only one other boy competing against my nephew.
Oh my God, that's hilarious. That's like no competition. She's good
right.
to know. I want to get in with her.
Yes, exactly. Okay, so what – okay, so you do that for years mm-hmm. and it's fun and you don't really have many juicy stories, and good for you.
No, I mean, I have juicy stories, but, you know.
Hell.
No, I mean, like, you know, the normal fun dating stuff, you know.
Did you ever, like, so what, I mean, when do you, so you're in Paris for, like, you're
3 years,
Europe,
yeah.
And then, so.
So I'm only in the model house for, you know, a couple months, and then you get on your feet, so to speak, and you're working and you're making money. So back in those days, it was awesome because the agency would literally front you the money. So they'd pay for your plane ticket and they'd pay for your room and board, and you would just pay it off. So it wasn't like you had to, you know, put out for your own plane ticket or money. And they just, they saw it as an investment. They're like, okay, great. What, she's going to come here.
Was there ever like a thing where girls would kind of then become like escorts?
I mean, so back in those days, there was like these model dinners and there was PRs, like the public relation kind of guys that worked and this still exists in New York, you know, where it would be like a guy that was like a party promoter at a nightclub and he'd be like, okay, he'd get in with one of the girls at the house and then, you know, it'd be like, hey, Heather, like, you know, Ricky's going to pick us up tonight in his car and take us all out to dinner and it's all free. Drinks, club, the whole deal. And then he literally gets paid per head per girl by the nightclub.
So, to bring in attractive women.
Yes.
Got it.
I mean, obviously that happens everywhere.
Yes.
But I'm sure, I mean, I don't know that, I don't think, I mean, listen, I'm naive to that stuff because that wasn't my deal. But like, I think it was more like, you know, these girls that maybe the modeling was like dwindling out for them. And they're like, oh, shoot, like maybe I've only got a couple more weeks left at the model house. Like I got to shack up with some guy. So I think it was more like that. And then they would stay in Italy or France and be the guy's girlfriend.
Oh, okay. You know, got it.
And then hopefully probably get married eventually.
And then what was the age where you felt like back then that the clock was ticking and your time as a hot model was?
I didn't, because I was still only – when I was in Paris, I mean, I moved there when I was 17.
No, not for you, but what was like the attitude back then? Now I feel like the modeling world has changed so much and there's such diversity and age and inclusivity, which is great. But in your day, it seemed like it was very much like this was the look, this was the time. Yeah. And
I mean, I think if you were 22, I felt like that was old. But then again, I was, you know, 16,
That's
17.
That's so crazy.
Yeah. Like, I was really young, you know, and I think, like, the guys I was dating were, like, old at 25. I was like, oh, my God, you're so old, you know, or maybe 30. And that was like, woohoo, that guy was old.
Right.
You know?
So then you go back to New York, and then at that point, you're living on your –
whole time I was living on my own. Yeah. I got this a beautiful apartment on Fifth Avenue. I spent a fortune on it. And I kept saying, like, oh my gosh. So Molly Sims and I, this is so funny. I remember Molly.
Now, she's a similar look to you.
Oh, do you think? Yeah.
I think so.
So we dated Patrick. She dated Patrick's best friend, this guy, Simon.
Your husband now, Patrick.
No, Patrick. Paris Patrick. The guy that I dated in Paris. That was so awesome.
Oh, okay.
Coincidentally, I met Molly.
Oh, your husband's Josh.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
So Patrick had a best friend, and coincidentally, Molly was dating Patrick. So I met Molly back like in 95 in Paris.
Okay.
So we were the two American girls dating the French guys, and then she moved with the French guy back to New York, so then I would see them in New York. And I remember moving back to New York and just saying like, you know, Molly, like what do apartments go for or whatever? And she was like, oh, yeah, totally, like this much money a month. And I was like, oh, well, Dad, like Molly says like this much money a month is good. So I like rented this insane Fifth Avenue apartment like over Paul Smith on like 16th and 5th, like bawling out at the age of like 18 or something. And I was like, yeah, like I'm living it, like balcony. Like I remember like friends showing up and being like,
how much
are you a Rockefeller?
It?
Like what's going on? I think it was like $5,000 a month. And it was like, you know.
And so you were doing enough gigs to afford
that. Well, because I made a fortune in Europe. Like, I was doing so much German catalog, and I was, like, rolling in it. And then, like, you move to New York, and you're like, oh, it's gone.
Oh.
So I was, like, living it up on Fifth Avenue, and then I was, like, you know, roommate in the East Village.
Oh, my gosh. How long did you have the killer place for?
A year. Oh. Yeah. Moved in, moved out, you know. But that's all good.
And
then I got my boobs and I started doing lingerie, so we were okay after that.
You got a boob job?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
And then you moved into lingerie.
Yeah.
Like what age was that?
I mean, I was like 19. No, maybe 20.
And now what made you decide to do that?
I have like super broad shoulders. I had like, it was like a full B, you know? And I just didn't, you know how it's just
but
like
it,
in proportion.
But it wasn't going to affect your fashion modeling.
No,
by having some titties.
No, but it was more of just like, just aesthetically. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like a big girl. I'm tall. I have super broad shoulders, like hips. And it just, I needed to be a little fuller. So that was a good decision for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then when you, meet your husband and you guys get married and you're still continuing to model this whole time.
So we meet and get married. Key West is like a second home to me. So we got married in Key West and then came out here for a friend's wedding. And then randomly put a bid in on a house in Venice. And no, it was in Santa Monica. And they accepted we go back to New York. The broker's like, hey, they've accepted your offer. And we looked at each other. We were like, oh shit, we're moving to LA. So we literally got married in October.
Oh, what year?
2004. And then 2005, bought this house. So we owned our apartment in New York. So we were like, okay, we subletted the apartment in New York, like rented it out. Then we were like, holy shit, we moved to LA. And we were there for like six-ish years.
And is that when you became close to Brandy?
No, I knew Brandy. I knew Brandy before I knew Josh. That's what people don't realize. Like, I've known Brandy before she was married. She was just engaged planning her wedding. And one of my best girlfriends, Emma Hemming Willis, who is married to Bruce Willis.
Oh,
so
okay.
That's our triangle connection. So I modeled with – so Emma and Brandy modeled in Japan together. And then Emma went to Europe, and I met Emma on a job in Paris. And again, this guy Patrick that I was dating was friends with her boyfriend. So we're on this job together, and I was like, my boyfriend. She's like, my boyfriend. And then we're like, holy shit. Like, we talked to our boyfriends. We're like, yeah, I know so-and-so. I know so-and-so. So then it's kind of funny how that happens, you know?
Yeah.
And we lived, like, two blocks from each other, Emma and I. So I move back to New York. Then Emma moves back to New York. And then Brandy's there with Eddie because he's doing a show in New York. And she's like, oh, you know, my girlfriend. And we met each other. And, like, Brandy will tell you, it's just like, you know, she's just like, I don't like many, you know, tall, hot blondes. And in my head, I'm like, I don't really either. But we met on Halloween. So funny. It's coming up on our anniversary. We met on Halloween at this party. So, like, she was like, I dream of Jeannie, like, so sex pot hot. And I was like, oh, my gosh, what's the Raquel Welch in that movie?
With
with a suede. Like, we were both like.
Like the cave woman thing.
Totally.
Yes, yeah.
So she was like, who's this bitch? And I was like, who's this bitch? And like, we've been besties ever since.
I love it.
So I went as Emma's date to Brandy's wedding because Emma was single at the time. And then the invites had already gone out. But Brandy's like, I want you to come. So just come as her date.
Got it.
So that was kind of cool. Yeah.
So one of the questions was, what's the craziest thing that you and Brandy have ever gotten yourselves into?
Probably Vegas, my bachelorette party.
What did she do?
She kind of walked. I was like head over heels for this. I drank the Kool-Aid with this Elvis impersonator. And like, I literally, if she wasn't there, like the eyes rolled back in my head and I was like, forgot that I was maybe getting married. And she was like, she literally pulled me aside. She'll tell you, she was like, Kristen, he's not really Elvis. And my eyes were like glazed over. Like it was, I like had an out of body experience.
Like you were going to just make out with him.
Go be a part of his little like cult and like be his Priscilla. Like literally. And I'm not, she will openly admit that to you today. Like it was bad. She literally like, if she could have like shook me and like slapped me around, like borderline, that's what she had to do. She's like, hello, you're getting married. This is not the man you're going to live your life with.
Oh my God, yeah. Hilarious.
But this guy like took us out to dinner and like.
As Elvis?
Oh, yeah.
Like all dressed up?
Yeah, don't even get me
started. Talking in the voice and everything?
It was like I eventually, because I had experienced that, that's why I'm still happily married. Like legit, it was like the Lord from above, my Elvis, came down to me through this man.
But were you an Elvis fan growing up?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Heather.
All right.
Oh my God.
I mean, he's like.
Number one. It's Kristen Carol Takeman, Elvis fan, and then everything else.
That is so weird.
Yes, weird. No, it's amazing.
I think it is weird for someone your age
into Elvis. I give you that.
Okay.
Yeah. Because I was born in 77 and I was only alive for like 3 months and then he died. So
yeah.
Yes, I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. That's a whole other podcast, but yes. So that would be the craziest thing. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So you're in New York, LA for a while. When do you move back to New York? And then let's get into why you did the Housewives.
Yeah. Yeah. So when my son was two, we moved back. And it was just for work, for Josh.
Yeah.
He was just like, we need to be back in New York for eBoost and all that because that's where the headquarters were.
That's
he was
his
getting
company.
It. Yeah.
Okay.
So he was getting his product made in Jersey and it was like, okay, great. So, you know, we go for, you know, we subletted our house out. So we owned two homes in Los Angeles that we rented out and then rented a friend's place for a little while and then rented in New York. And then you're just in New York again and you blink and, you know, 11 years go by. You know, so that's kind of what happens.
Mm-hmm. And were you someone who watched any of the Housewives franchises?
Well, because of Brandy. So,
oh,
you know,
right.
When
Brandy
you have to
first.
Remember, yeah. Like one of your best friends is on the show. So you're there for her. You're supporting her.
Would you guys talk about the episodes after?
Oh,
and everything?
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
And would you ever go, girl, I can't believe you said that or did that. Would you ever?
Yeah. I know. I don't know. Well, I also had Kingsley. So my daughter was born to When I went on the show, she was a year.
Okay.
So, you know, I was like towards like when Brandy was in like her like the height of it all, like I was like pregnant, had a baby. So it was a little, you know, I wasn't as all consumed as I would be now, you know,
right.
having older kids, like not in all the trenches with the baby stuff.
Yeah.
But no, it was great. And then, you know.
And so then how did it come? Did she, in fact, give the recommendation?
Yep. So it's exactly what's in the book, which was, I can't wait to talk about that with you. So basically.
Which book? Because there were two.
Oh, no.
You also were in it. Weren't you also in Brian's book?
I don't even know. The book that just came out.
You're in Dave Quinn's book.
Yes, Dave Quinn.
Okay. All right. What do you say in that?
No. So, I mean, that's exactly how it went down. I guess it's like Andy's like recollection of what happened was basically Brandy came in for the upfronts. I was her date. Brandy, you know, says hi to Andy. And Andy, she says to Andy out of nowhere, Brandy and I never even talked about it. Like, I literally had like a 9-month-old at home, you know.
Okay.
So I was like, it was like a big night out for me because I still had a baby. And she's like, Kristen's going to be your next housewife of New York. And I'm like, what? And Andy's like, what? Like, so, and she didn't even know they were looking for anybody. It's just like, it's so Brandy, right?
Right.
Like never one time had we ever even spoken about it. And she just like blurts that out of nowhere. And I was like, ha ha ha. And then I remember actually, it was actually really, you know, you have these moments in your life, huge, crazy crowd. You could imagine everybody was around Andy. And Andy paused in the middle of the mayhem and like really looked at me if it could have been 3 seconds and then turned away and was on his way. And then I got a call from a producer the next day.
And then what was your thought?
I mean, listen, you know, having the modeling background, which I know sounds silly, but like I feel like if you're modeling or you're acting, it's like
you're in the world.
And I go on castings and auditions all the time.
Like don't result in the job.
Yeah. And it's not a big deal. It's like you're like, okay, great. It's another audition. Like, cool. Like, you know, listen, Brandy was in the world. She had done the show. It wasn't coming out of total left field for me.
Yeah.
I knew Heather Thompson really well. I met Carol that night that I'd
Carol
never
Roswell, yeah.
Carol Roswell that I'd never met before. But Carol and I have so many friends in common. It's insane. Like so many close friends of Josh and I are really good friends with Carol. So I'm surprised that we hadn't crossed paths. So that was like super organic. So, you know, I also think that maybe they had said something, and you know how it goes when they're trying to find new blood for these shows. It's like they would like it to be organic if it could be. So
yeah.
I think that fit the bill. And then, you know, we just had
so
two
you
auditions.
So you did the auditions they mm-hmm. offered to you. Is there any time that you and Josh questioned doing it?
No. The only issue that we had with the process, which, again, I always like to share with people because New York is very different than the other ones because of the apartment buildings. So I almost lost the contract because my building wouldn't let us film. Mm. So if you remember back, if I was 6 and 7, 5, season 5, Aviva and Heather – mm-hmm. Their buildings didn't grant them permission to film inside, and the network didn't like that because you need to see what's going on behind closed doors, and they
right.
want to have you in your home. It's reality. So they had put their foot down with the future housewives saying, if we can't film in your apartment, that's a deal breaker. So Josh knows everybody, and we literally – we have good friends, like best friends who's friendly – best friends who's friendly with the family that owns our building.
Okay.
So it was like – and it kind of just randomly came up and we were like, oh, my God, but you know the blah, blah family? And they're like, well, wait a minute. They own – their parents own the building. So we were able to get in this like side.
So they allowed it.
Yes, they allowed it. So that's why I was able to do the show. But I almost lost it because of that.
And who – remind everybody of who was on your cast that year.
So I also like to remind people – people forget in New York, they had a year hiatus. Do you remember that?
No,
they were
why?
Off – so they – it was Aviva, Carol, and Heather went on for season 5.
Okay.
And they were all three newbies.
Right.
Something had gone down with – I feel like – I want to say Luann was giving them grief or something had happened where they were off the air for over a whole season.
Wow.
So then when I came back, I was the only new one. But it was like a – it was actually for me, it was a good time to jump in because they had been off the air for so long. So everybody was sort of like acclimating again to being back. And then the three newbies had their second season – which sometimes is even better for girls than their first because you really figure out who they are, right?
Right. So who's your cast then?
So Heather, Aviva, and Carol came back for their second season, and then we had the OGs, which was Ramona, Sonia,
Luann,
and Luann.
Okay.
So you had the three newbies and the three OGs.
Got it.
And then...
And you.
Yes. And then I came in.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And...
That was for season 6. And then season 7 was when Bethany came back.
And you were on 7 as well.
Yes.
Okay. So now let's talk about some of the questions that happened in there. Obviously, one of the greatest moments was the thrown leg.
Oh, my God.
And I do remember your expression.
I mean, it's just too much.
When Aviva said, the only thing that's fake is this leg, and she chucked it. And I interviewed Aviva maybe a year ago or so on Zoom. And, I mean, she was really delightful, really honest about it.
I think she's great, honestly.
Did you get along with her?
I did. Going into the first season, all the girls were like, look out for her, look out for her. Like, on camera, they were like, look out for her behind the scenes. She's going to get you, look out for her. And I was like, oh, my God, I have to live this organically. Like, I can't sit here and go like, oh, this is a bad one. And I'm not going to, like, side with my friends that this is, like – the mean girl. Like, I just don't operate like that.
Yeah.
And we had – our kids were similar in age. Like, I really genuinely liked her. I mean, she was very nice in the beginning. I'm going to go with – there was a lot of blurred lines behind the scenes with her where – you remember she, like, got that schmancy townhouse and, like, we all knew it was kind of just for show, for filming.
Oh,
do you remember
okay.
that big – she got this, like, ginormous townhouse. It was, like – a lot because she couldn't film in her apartment the season before.
So she had to rent something.
I got to tell you, anybody that moves into a new place for the show and you have a family and a husband, like I don't know.
Right.
It's a little suspect to me. I was like, I don't like to be mean, but like she's a little thirsty. It was like, that's kind of weird. Like if I didn't get my contract and do the show because I couldn't film in my home, that was a sign. Like I don't need this.
I mean, I don't know if you watch OC. Do you watch – are familiar
with
OC?
Yeah.
But Bronwyn lived in Miami with her husband and 7 kids and moved to the OC to get on the show, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Get on the show, rented the house, you know.
And now, was a big house, too.
And now she's living in New York with her lesbian girlfriend.
Yeah.
And the husband and the 7 kids are at home.
In California.
In Newport or wherever, the OC.
Oh, yeah. That's like a whole other conversation. I can't. It's just weird.
So, I mean, that is someone who
that's
really...
That's a lot of kids to run off with your lover. Like, keep it together until they get into high school at least.
Oh,
like, that's
well, the youngest one is like 3.
Yeah, that's not okay.
Or 2.
Yeah.
I mean, very young. There's a couple that are very young.
Yeah.
And, but, you know, hey... You know, other
my
people
opinion.
Would say, hey, men leave and go East Coast and, you know, people don't freak out. But I think they do, too. But anyway.
No, but in terms of the houses, like that's.
Yes, like, but doing that. And I think sometimes, you know, people want it so badly. And if their house aesthetically doesn't fit the aspirational, you know, desires of the viewers, then they either do it on their own, or I think sometimes producers suggest it or whatever.
Yeah.
And now you're getting something a little inauthentic.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if you remember, but Sonia came over at one point to talk to Josh, my husband, about business stuff. And like, I think she made some comments about my apartment. And I'm like, at the end of the day, that was a $10,000 a month Tribeca rental. I'm sorry it was in a townhouse on the Upper East Side, but A, nobody wants to live on the Upper East Side. B, your townhouse is a dump. C, you only got it because you were married and divorced. And D, this is how normal people live, and I'm not slumming it in my super expensive. I know it doesn't meet your whole, but that was a bit of a reality check too. It's like I just have to put that out there.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
I wasn't on the Lower East Side in a walk up. I was in a very schmancy, expensive building in Tribeca, one of the most desirable places. You know.
And how did you feel about?
It's my reality.
Like, no. How did you feel about Ramona? What was your?
Oh no, Sonia did that.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm saying like she's just out of touch with how real people live.
Oh, Sonia, that's why I was like, okay, yes.
Yeah.
Definitely, definitely.
I'm just like, listen, like this is a high-end rental.
Mm-hmm.
Believe it or not, like knock knock, not everybody lives in a townhouse.
And,
you know what I mean?
And do you so did you have an issue with Sonia?
I mean, other than being, you know, delusional. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, she's so delusional. It's really sad. And this past this season, it's sad to watch. I'm sorry. Sonia has a great season, like went away and had like a detox, like shaman retreat.
Yes.
And she comes back one season, like pulled, tucked, nipped, thin, fabulous.
Yeah.
The next season, it's like she falls off the wagon and you're like, oh. It's like this weird yo-yo, right?
No, it's literally, I feel like every other season she's been sober.
Oh my God.
And then this season she's not sober.
Yeah.
It's like.
Or she comes into it sober and she looks fantastic and she still looks fantastic for the season and then falls off the rails.
Yeah.
But like it's sad. to see and watch.
Yeah. I mean, I enjoy her. But yeah.
I enjoy her too.
I feel like that too. And then I feel like, well, if everybody's sober on the show,
yeah,
it's not going to be that fun. No. So it's like, who, you know, like they sit around, who's boozing? Who's being sober and seriously coming off well? Because a couple of us have to take one for the team.
Yeah,
like,
hello.
You know, and
ooh, yeah. What about Leia? I always pronounce it wrong.
Leah.
I mean, don't you think the producers were like, oh, fuck, she's not drinking?
Yes.
They're like, she was naked. Okay, let's find a new one.
She was
put out feelers.
Naked throwing lit tiki torches everywhere one season. And the next, she's just like, you know, wearing wigs and getting angry.
Okay, can we just back up a second? Who has tiki torches these days? I mean,
well, I guess that's why that she was upset about the tiki
torches. I'm like, Ramona, come on. Like, they make new things now. They're called, you know, like whatever, like hurricanes or whatever. Like, who the hell has tiki torches? It's like so 1982 or something.
But she's had that house for a long time. So it was probably her fun, you know, her thing of the house.
Oh, yeah.
Well, the latest on that just came out on TMZ is, as you know, they did not have a reunion.
New York
did not have a reunion.
And do we know why?
Well, we do today.
Okay.
It just came out today.
Okay.
According to TMZ, you know, there was a lot of controversy between Ramona and possibly saying the wrong thing to Ebony, and Ebony, you know, being during this political time of social unrest. There was a lot of conversation in the season about what was going on in the world politically and socially.
Okay.
So according to TMZ, Ebony filed a complaint with Bravo about Ramona, claiming that she said something that she felt was inappropriate or racist or whatever. They did a full investigation.
Oh, my God.
And they had to interview all the girls, okay? And I think there was one crew member that also had some complaint. In the end, they decided there was nothing that constitutes that Ramona did anything wrong.
Okay.
But at that point, so much time had passed between the last time they filmed, and it was kind of a dismal season anyway, they decided to then scrap the reunion. But for people like Luann, Sonia, and Ramona that are senior people, that was a $100,000 paycheck that was now scrapped.
That. Yep.
So they are not happy with Ebony.
Oh, guess what, Ramona? Get your shit together. You just ruined it for everybody. Right? You just,
well,
and now
some
you really.
Some people could say that Ebony ruined it for everybody, and then other people could say, no, Ebony was, you know, sticking up for herself and saying what she felt was right.
Yeah.
And so I don't know, but they do not like Ebony. They ignored her, apparently, left the minute she arrived at the Dave Quinn books. Did you go to the Dave Quinn book party?
I was in New York, too.
Oh, but you didn't go.
No.
Okay.
I didn't want to deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, oh, my God, that's crazy. But you know what? You know what the takeaway is? It's like, you're not untouchable, Luann, Sonia, Ramona. Like, you're not. Guess what? Like, you know, you sparked this thing enough, and you obviously didn't have a good enough relationship with your castmate, Ebony, because, you know, you rubbed her the wrong way, however you did, to make her file that complaint.
Yes.
So you know what? You know, I'm saying if Ebony felt better about their relationships, even like apologize, like, okay, fine, this was said. I really genuinely apologize behind the scenes with you in person. I go to your house, like I make it right. Then Ebony's not going to do that.
Well, it's really kind of weird because I watched the whole season and they did end on a good note.
Did they?
I mean, there was shit that went down during it. Like, there was a Shabbat dinner that was super embarrassing.
That was Sonia. I saw that one. That was Sonia.
That was Sonia, but it was also Ramona being like,
she left early.
She kept going, you know, I've been made prejudice against because I'm blonde and I'm Christian. Okay? It was really hurtful to me. It's really hurtful to me. And they're like, what?
That was the best impression ever.
And I was like, I cannot believe you're bringing up the fact that you felt that someone in college,
I mean, that's
gave
so
you some shit around Christmas. What are you talking about?
Like, so, I was that's like beyond embarrassing. But maybe Ebony bottled it up and she waited to the end. She's like, I got this coming to you guys, you know. But honestly, it's
there
like,
must have been some incident or something that we did not see on camera that she felt was such a violation and so wrong that she wanted Bravo to know. And now in this heighten sensitivity, Bravo had to take these, you know, very human resource type steps.
Yeah.
And I don't think Ebony's intention was that there would be no reunion because Ebony missed out on a paycheck too.
Yeah.
And Ebony missed out on an opportunity to speak her mind.
Yeah.
So they say Ebony's upset as well that the whole thing was scrapped. But, I mean, I think they're all going to come back and we'll hopefully find out what the heck happened. But it's just – I feel like when there's that much weird – how are you supposed to react like – New York felt very much this season very fake.
Oh, my God.
They were not friends and then they would act like they're friends and they'd hug each other. Mm-hmm. And the hugging felt like so not real. Mm-hmm. Like the New York girls are – connect. I mean, New York, the Beverly Hills girls are connected in a way.
That.
Even if they fight, they're really connected.
Yeah.
And I just feel like this
I think every
this
other
last
franchise.
Cast was like very strange in what they were doing.
It's, you know, I feel that way about New York in general. It's like they just, there's never been that much of a chemistry.
There is a chemistry between Sonia and Ramona and Luann because they hung out so many years. It's a love-hate chemistry, but it's a real chemistry because it's like sisters.
Yeah, but they don't see each other on the off-season. That's the part
really?
That, I mean, you know how it's like they'll talk, they come back for that first show, second show.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, well, Sonia was in Stade or wherever.
Yeah.
And like, you know, Luann was out at the beach and nobody saw Ramona or, you know, I don't think, they're not as close as you think.
So you think so what you're saying basically, they have a history, but I don't really, but they don't really like each other that much. That's what I feel.
Or they have a history, they genuinely like each other, but they're not as close as you might think.
Okay.
Who knows? Maybe it's because they do film so much together.
Yeah.
When their cameras are off, they're like, I need a minute.
Yeah.
That's fair enough. But New York needs young. I want to see Tinsley back. I loved her. I loved everything about her. Fashion,
style. Well, would you come back?
No. I wouldn't.
Okay.
This is the first time I'm ever saying that. I got to tell you, I had a moment and I was like, you know what? I'm so done.
And what was the moment?
Just, you know, I think just the book coming out and I just.
What was your feeling about the book?
You know, I had a really good talk with Heather Thompson.
Yes.
And she went back and it didn't really go so well for her, I don't think.
Oh, when she went back this past season.
I mean, what do you think?
She ended up looking bad, but I feel like her intention
was
really good. And it was, again, it was a heated race-relationed conversation that she went and was trying to smooth it over the best she could.
Yep.
And then because she said, look, I've worked with, I've been in, you know, black homes and everything. And then they're like, oh, I want to hear about that. And, oh, I worked for... You know, P. Diddy, but that's just the truth.
Yeah.
But then they're like, well, it was rich black people. I mean, it's just like you couldn't win.
No.
You just couldn't win in that case. And I felt kind of bad for that.
Yes.
And then she said, you know, you were very articulate. And I think she meant to Ebony, you're very articulate in the way you explained your point of view across.
She's so
great.
Smart.
But but when a white person calls a black person articulate, it goes back to like 30 years ago where it's now being perceived as condescending.
Yes.
So she didn't come off great. Yeah.
And I also feel like, listen, from like a vanity standpoint, I think here's the deal. People don't realize these women, I call it like a cyclone. So you're like, you're in this whole thing, right?
Right.
Sorority, whatever you want to call it. And it's just, it's going.
Yeah.
You're going to imagine you right now are going to step into that and you're going to get like swirled up. I'm very visual.
Yeah.
Swirled up in all of this. And then you're just going to like get spit out and then you're going to go back to your life where like these women have had, they're living and breathing all of this. And you have a regular life now and you're going to pop into this and pop back out. It just doesn't work that way. I don't think. You know, unless you're like on the fray of them the whole time. Like, you know, how Ramona has a couple of friends. I couldn't even tell you.
Yeah.
Who,
yeah.
That's like always kind of around. And
I'll tell
works.
You who they are. They're my really good girlfriends. They throw me a really lovely birthday every year.
Every
day.
Year.
Really great luncheons. And you know, I'm not going to apologize for the fact that they're one percenters. I'm really not. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, Kristen, maybe you don't know that. Maybe you don't have girlfriends like I do. Okay. You've got your one Brandy, but I don't really think she's that classy. So I'm just going to say that. Like, yeah.
Legit. Yeah. And then they all get her a fancy like bag. We all chip in and get her a Prada bag. You're like, really?
But thank God she
Gucci,
does have.
Gucci.
But I think your point is thank God she does have those friends, though.
Yes.
Because
thank God
it's like.
Yes.
if this is all you had, you know.
Yeah. But I just, I mean, I know you watched it. So like Heather comes in as her authentic self. Heather's amazing. She's awesome. You know, she genuinely does keep in touch with a lot of those girls. But she rolls in as Heather, like normal Heather. And they're all on a show. They're full glam. They're set up. Heather comes in. She's like got like a messy updo and like a little bit of makeup, but not enough for TV. And like her outfit's slightly off. And like, I would tell her this. She knows this. Am I right? And it's just, it was, to me, it was like a little bit like, that's
yeah,
fair.
Well, because at that party,
like
Ebony and Leah had full hair and makeup there. And
all of them did. They all had these insane outfits. And
no,
like,
but I don't think Ramona, what I do, I'm kind of impressed that like Ramona and Luann do their own hair and makeup. And they're like older.
Do they?
At least on that trip, they didn't have the people.
Okay.
Ebony and Leah shared the people.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I think that is your prerogative.
Me
You're
too.
On TV.
Don't even get me started.
Like, if you want to have the hair and makeup and you want to pay out of your pocket, I don't think that makes you an inauthentic person.
No.
You are on fucking TV.
Yeah, agreed.
For eternity,
they
can play these things.
Yes.
So if you can't do yourself right, spend the money.
But that's my point. So it's like you want to go back for a few shows and you're getting paid in literal peanuts, okay?
Yeah.
And I'm going to pay out of pocket to go up to the par that they are with the outfits and the hair. Like, what is that going to do for me?
Right.
You know, what did that do? Like, if you look back, Heather's like, listen, Heather has a podcast now and she's doing great.
Yeah.
So I get it. Like, for her, that's a whole nother thing. But for somebody like me, I don't need that. Heather, it's not going to bring me anything. It's not enough money. I'm not going to further any career choice for it.
So let's talk about the second season. You do come up with this Papa Nail. Papa Color.
Yeah, yeah.
What happened with that business?
So it was with Ricky's. Do you remember Ricky's in New York City?
No.
Okay, so it was like a very popular chain. They had it in New York. They had it in Miami. So we had a connection with them, and they were like, hey, let's do something. And I was like, well, I love nail polish. So it was like super authentic to me. It was like really fun, the whole process. And it was great because it was a licensing deal with Ricky's. They had all the resources. I mean, we can explain to people what a licensing deal means. It means that I didn't have to put up any money, and they did it all. They manufactured it. They put it out. They sold it for me. So it was a really great deal. And it was fun. And it came out of the show. And I'm a fashion girl. And if you watch the first season, I had crazy nails and crazy nail polish every, you know, I'd like blues and funs and purples. And like, I really did crazy nails. So it was really true to who I was. So it made sense for me in my world. So, you know, it's funny. I saw this is like 2 years or a year after I was off the show. I saw Andy watch What Happens Live. I went with Brandy. And he goes, Kristen, I have to say, I was really impressed. I was at JFK at the airport and there was your Pop of Color for sale at the kiosk. And he was like, I was really impressed. Why was he impressed? Because most of the women go on that show and they don't actually have a product you can buy.
Yeah.
And it's all like a fugazi, you know?
Yeah.
And for me, I was really selling this polish. You could buy it.
And because the polish came out while you were filming the creativity of it, was there part of your contract where you had to give a profit to Bravo?
Everyone's contract says that.
Okay.
No, they don't ever honor it unless you turn into Bethany. I call it the Bethany Clause. I think that's what a lot of people say. I think they put that into play in case you became the next Bethany Frankel.
In case you sold that Papa Color for $100 million, then they'd come after you. But they're not going to come after a check for $1,000 or whatever.
No.
Okay.
No.
Interesting.
And
then if you came on the show and you already had Papa Color, then that would be excluded.
I'm sure.
Yes.
I mean, I don't have that experience, but I'm sure.
Yeah. That would only make sense.
Yeah. 100%.
Yes.
Yeah,
but if you create something while you're on there, okay, got it.
Yes. So then, you know, years later, Ricky's folded and the licensing deal was done. So it ran its course.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so the second season, why did you not return after the second season?
They, you know, it just didn't work out. Like everybody.
They just didn't ask you back.
Yeah, exactly.
Did they ever give you a reason? Did you get a call?
Well, no, it's amazing. So that was so great. It's David Quinn. Is that his name, the new book?
Yes.
What's it called?
It's called Not All Diamonds and Rosé.
Okay, so that's the book that just came out a week ago.
Yes, yes.
So it's really amazing because Brandy will always say too, she's like, you don't get fired. It's just, you just don't get asked back. It's like, you have a year contract. It's up. It's like leasing a car. It's
your option was not picked up.
Yeah,
yes.
Exactly. And it's not that big of a deal, you know.
Yeah.
I was happy to get two seasons. I think one season would be a lot for nothing.
Yeah.
And I do think three seasons is hard because then you're like, you're really in it, and if you don't get a fourth, that's a real bummer.
Yeah.
Because you're like, really, you just dove head in.
And also, doesn't the money go significantly up season four?
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. you know, so for me, it was like I just didn't get optioned back. And I remember that phone call. And I was, I'm not going to lie, I was really relieved.
Were you like?
Well, it's so Lisa Shannon, who was our producer, who's quoted in the book, which I really liked hearing the back end of all of that stuff, like how you were picked and like all that stuff. That's the beauty of this book. But so she was, she just said to me, she goes, we both know that you're not a career housewife. And I love that she, I always say that, a career housewife. And I'm not a career housewife. I was never going to be a career housewife. Like, to me, that's like an OG. It's like your end all, your be all. You live and you breathe it. And that was just never who I was. And it's interesting having all of this perspective now, reading clips of the book, really talking about it with people. It's like the thing that, like, we'll get into the other stuff with Ramona, but the thing that I think is interesting and I really want to put out there, there are the OGs that are so – there's the Vickys, there's the Tamaras, there's, you know, Ramona, Sonia, Luann. They are the OGs, and they're there for a reason. They're career housewives. I think their whole life revolves around this show. They very few of them – Vicky and Tamara maybe not, but, you know, on the New York certainly, like, their whole life is this show. And everything that they've created is with the show or because of the show. Like, what would they have without the show? Not much. And that's fine. And they're really good at what they do, Heather. But you know what? They also have to acknowledge that you got to have these pinch hitters that come in. Like, their show – wouldn't be what it is without the Kristens and the Avivas and the, you know, the Juuleses or, you know what I'm getting at?
Like, where you, where they have someone to spar with.
Because
– and who has a new story.
Yes.
Yeah, you always have to have new people,
I think. You totally do. Like, you know, Ramona, don't hate on, you know, the new girls because, I don't know. Or just looking back now, say what you want on the show, but don't – put us down because your show wouldn't be where it is today and you wouldn't be able to be on it as long as you can without shitting on all of us little people that aren't the OGs, that aren't the career housewives.
Okay, so wait, I want to go back to a couple of things. So when the leg dropped.
It was like a horror movie. Because Heather, who would remember that Aviva had a prosthetic leg? I certainly did it. I'm not sitting there having lunch with Aviva going, she's got a prosthetic leg.
Right,
and I didn't remember she had a prosthetic leg.
Oh, that's right.
And I've never really seen the – when I'm not looking at her prosthetic leg.
And you know what's interesting that people forget is that we're seeing Aviva talk about it in confessionals. We're seeing her try on shoes.
But or her storyline.
But you're never privy to that.
No, no.
So unless she's takes you to the prosthetic place or whatever, or really talked about it, you would probably forget.
Yes.
Like you knew it, but it wasn't top of your mind. So she looks beautiful. She shows up at the luncheon.
And you have to remember, this was her second season. So her whole storyline the first season was about the prosthetic leg.
Okay,
but
so
I wasn't
really
going to break.
Didn't hear it.
Yeah. And I wasn't going to break the third wall. And it had aired 2 years previously. So I didn't really remember.
You really had forgotten.
Yeah, and I wasn't
thinking about it.
No.
Okay.
It's weird.
Okay, so the leg went flying. Where were you?
I was sitting right across from her like I am from you. And it
so she took off the leg.
I think the leg was off.
She had it ready.
I think it was ready. And that's in the book too, that she had told production. But could you imagine trying to save yourself to like
– to be asked back, you mean?
And in the book, Andy has said – they already knew they weren't asking her back.
Yeah.
And apparently her husband called. Her husband called production for more money or like – it's just – that's just crazy town to me. But, yeah, so it was like a horror show. And all of us were like, that's really – I mean
– So when the leg – so the leg comes up and it literally flies across.
I think what she did was – so if she was here, she kept fiddling like under the table, but no one knew. Yeah. And there was all this heated discussion and she waited for the right moment. She took it off and she slammed it on the table and all of us just – pushed back and stood up. And I just remember going like this, like all I could do was, oh my God, like freaking out. And then she threw it and there it was on the ground. And you were just like, I cannot, like that, there was no words because
there was no preparation for it.
No, it was just horrific. It was tacky. Like to me, it was just weird. It was like, I don't know. Look, I'm even still like crazy about it because it was
so
just
how, so, well then who went and got it, picked it up and put it back?
No idea.
You don't know how she walked out of there.
No, I don't. Oh, my God, Heather. I don't.
No, but
I don't know how she walked out of there.
So how much longer did you guys film during that scene?
I think it was so much chaos because I think it like that was like a wrap after that. Because wasn't that our – I think that was the last – that was it. That was
the
our
finale,
last –
finale, yeah. I just remember your expression and I remember – Luann was kind of like chuckling. Oh, do you get along with Luann?
Yeah, she's great.
Yeah. Have you seen her cabaret or anything?
Yeah, she invited me pre-COVID. It was really great.
Yeah. It's fun. Mm-hmm.
And she's so talented. I'm, you know, talking about how these women don't really have much going on or whatever. I think it's kind of amazing what Luann's done. She's like totally made that lemonade in like the best, most authentic way. It's not a toaster oven line. She's up there night after night and she's really talented.
And it's very entertaining.
Yes.
And it's like it brings joy to the people that go.
It's great.
And it's all good. But with your pop of color, did Bethany kind of shit on it?
Yeah, she totally did.
Remind me of that.
No, she just, you know, she was questioning my trademark. She was questioning what I was doing. And, you know, it's like in the book, too, that was talked about, you know, women supporting women. And like, where's that support system? Like, I'm not calling it, you know, skinny pop of color. It's like that's you've done you. Nobody's taking away what you have. You know, I'm just a little girl that got, you know, the little one that got the new girl that got a great deal.
Yeah.
Like, why wouldn't I? It's Ricky's. And again, I know you're not familiar with it, but in New York, it's a really big thing.
Yeah. No, I mean, I remember thinking that was a cool thing that hadn't been
done. It was very New York.
Yeah,
you know?
But also I thought nail polish was something we hadn't seen.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't like an easy thing. It did work with you.
Yeah.
And
why not? It's like, you know,
why
she
not?
Should be like
why
kudos
you?
To you for doing something with the show.
Yeah, and utilizing this time.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, she was so awful to Sonia with the tipsy girl.
Oh, my God. I can't keep track.
So tipsy girl was a champagne that this guy had originally gone to Ramona for and then went to Sonia for.
And Sonia's like, sure.
Yeah, Sonia's like, sure. And then she's like, that's a cheater brand and I don't want anything to do with you. And it was honestly so sad because Sonia went to her office thinking they were good and thinking that she would be like happy for her about her little thing.
Yeah.
And then, you know.
I just, you know, I could go on and on about all this, but it's just like, you know, Luann is authentic with what she's doing. She's actually really doing something great. Nobody can question Bethany. She had a great idea.
Yes.
She's so driven. That's in the book. Driven, 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 you know? Driven meaning like she would hawk cookies on the side of the road. Like that's real, you know, entrepreneurship and all that. Ramona would show up at an event with her wine and prop it behind the bar like they sold it there, which they didn't. Toaster ovens. They never made it to market. You know, her clothing line. Like, it's just – I don't understand, like, how the viewers – they don't – I mean, I know that that's make part of the shtick of it or whatever, but it's just like – for someone that was there with it, it's just like – because then it just makes the people who really have a brand – okay, fine. I don't still have Pop of Color. You know, it sold out. My licensing deal ended. Ricky's ended up going under years later.
Yeah.
Like a lot of businesses have. But it was real. Andy could buy it at JFK. You know, it was actually for sale and I had a product in hand that was in the market. So like why couldn't it be like, yay, Kristen? You know, it doesn't because it gets diluted in all of the other girls – fake businesses, which is ridiculous.
Right. Yeah. And so what if Beverly Hills asked you? So no.
I don't think I'm right for Beverly Hills at all. And I don't think it would really bring me anything.
Yeah.
Either. And I really don't think I'm that great at it. I think that you have to be really great at it and you have to also not be afraid. I mean, I think I could be great at it. But I would have to be great at it for the next 5 to 10 years to make it worthwhile for my life. I have so many other things going on.
Yeah.
And I don't.
So you're still modeling. Mm-hmm. You guys moved out here for
family, pandemic. We were just like, you know.
Burnt out.
But, you know, people don't realize that New York is such hard living. And we were there for every other major disaster. You name it, from, you know, Hurricane Sandy to September 11th to the blackout to, you know, every other thing that went on and we stuck it out. And it was just one of those times, Heather, where you're like, worldwide pandemic. And I have, you know, a preteen and, you know, somebody, a kid in elementary school. My son took the subway to school every day. Like, I was like, it was a moment where you're like, we don't actually have to do this. My husband and I both work for ourselves. Like, we can move out of the city. Like, we don't have to be here. We were lucky enough to be renting our apartment. We got out of our lease and we left. you know, and New York will always be there. And I'm actually there more than I'm in LA at the moment. Yeah. I'm like there every other week for work right now. So
you're modeling a lot.
Yeah, it's been great.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That is great.
I know, knock on wood.
That's great. And you guys are still married after 17 years. Mm-hmm. So that little blip that had nothing to do with you leaving the housewives.
Well, ironically, so I have a conversation with Lisa Shannon and it was like, oh, you know, we decided not to have you back. And I was like, okay, like, you know, it was one of those things where it's like I could, you know, it's like a teetering, like I could jump in full speed to a third season if that was the opportunity. And if it's not, I'm equally just as fine with it. So it was like, it was more of just like, am I going to go back? Am I not? And you could imagine every girl feels that way because people don't realize you don't get a 5-year contract. It's a season.
Yeah.
So that's done. The reunion airs. And then everybody's like pins and needles, right? Like they're all waiting. Are you getting asked back? Are you getting asked? Do you think I'll get asked back? Do you think that one scene was good enough to get asked back? Do you think that one thing I missed out on will get me
that
not asked back?
That one event that you blew off?
For real. Yeah. Like I think that that's – could you imagine what Ramona, Luann, and Sonia go through every single year?
In their head?
Yes. I've got to secure myself for that next year, that next paycheck. Like, I was never going to live like that.
I got to get in one. I've gotten – like, I haven't been in a fight with anybody this season.
Yeah.
I've got to throw
a
drink.
Do?
I got to break a glass.
Yeah. I got to do
freak
something.
Out.
Yeah.
I got to freak out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, I was equally as relieved, and that just meant, like, it was like –
But do you feel there was no moment in those 2 years that was strenuous on your marriage or no?
No, you know, people, I think, you know, Josh got a bad rap, you know, just because of,
I feel like we just didn't, I don't feel like we did see, yeah. I don't feel like he got a good or a bad. I feel like I just, in my memory, I just saw you guys like around the table with the kids a few times.
Yeah.
Maybe having like a dinner out.
Yeah.
I don't remember like anything juicy
about it. Well, he didn't, I was making dinner one night because that was like a moment and like he got stuck on a conference call. He really was at his office and really got stuck on a conference call.
Okay.
And production kept calling him and saying like, dude, where are you? Like, we're all here filming. And I was like, where the fuck are you? We're all here filming. Like, I was like, are you kidding? Like, we've talked about stuff. It's the kids and I have a baby. Like, she's got to go to bed. Like, what's happening? And I was like, on camera, where are you? And like, after all of those calls, what husband man wouldn't be like, I'm on a fucking conference call. Like, I'll be there soon. Like, he was just like, and you know, behind the scenes, I'm just like, hi, everybody. Like, he's paying our bills right now. This shit that I'm doing for you guys on camera is not my future.
Right.
What he's doing is, so, you know, and then again.
And,
it was like,
if you're filming real life, that would be a real argument.
It was all real. And that's our reality. That happens. So, and the other reality is I never cooked dinner. So he's just like, really, Kristen? He's like, I don't want to eat your meal anyway. So, you know, then he comes home and like, I think they just like, you know, halfway through the season, they had said, we're going to fall. Your biggest storyline right now is your relationship with your husband. So then it sparks into going to therapy. And again, people have to remember at that point, we were together for 10 years. That's a long time. Had small babies. We're on a reality show. Had lived in two different places. Like, you know, we'd lived in LA, moved to, been in New York, LA, and then back to New York and only been back in New York for like 4 years or something, 3 years. Had a new baby at home. It was all normal stuff.
Yeah.
You know? And then, you know, then it sparks into, so then, you know, I don't get asked back, which was, I was like, we were both like, you know what, it's a relief. We know now we can move on.
Yes.
And then the whole thing happens with Josh. And all we kept thinking was like, first off, we were like, oh my God, Bravo's got their tail between their legs.
Because they would what? Probably want
Hello?
You.
It was like, after like the storm had cleared for me, I was just like, oh, my God. Like, you know, you're sitting there going like, holy shit. They're like, damn it. If we'd only waited 3 more weeks to can this girl.
And and but you guys were able to get through that.
Yeah.
And that was that they found out that at one time he reached out to Ashley Madison.
Yeah.
And, like, and you were not upset by it?
I mean, listen, it was just crappy that it got so sensationalized in the press. Like, nobody ever wants that.
Yeah.
But I always just say, like, I know my truth, Heather. Like, I know my reality and my own marriage. It's like, not that big of a deal. Like, really going to reach out to somebody? Like, that's great. Have a little email situation. And he was with his friends, and I know that sounds obnoxious, but anybody who knows Josh and it's like a bummer to me because there's a lot of other in my real life, excluding the show, there's other friends of mine's husbands that were in on it.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, hey, what's this whole thing about? You know, like, oh, I'm going to start an account. And it just goes to show you too, like, I don't need to get into it completely, but like, you know, he obviously wasn't really secretive about it if he's like putting out his credit card and like doing all this, you know, it's just like so silly to me, the whole thing, you know. And again, like, give me a break. Like, it was totally sensationalized and still here.
Yeah.
And I feel like we're stronger for it.
You know? Yeah. I think that's what makes being in the public eye really difficult.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of people that have been married as long as you and I have.
Yeah.
That there might have been some type of indiscretion or whatever,
yeah.
or a lot worse, like
yeah,
full
yeah,
on.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah.
you dealt with it together. You
yeah.
didn't have to have a bunch of people being like, kick him to the curb, blah, blah, blah,
yeah.
blah. Like, you
yeah.
know, how many people
yeah.
that are writing, kick him to the curb, he's an asshole,
yeah.
cheated or had someone cheat or someone reach out or had,
totally.
Or had yeah. a separation
yeah.
or had a,
yeah.
you know, a therapy moment or said, let's get divorced or,
yeah.
you know, said all those
yeah.
things. So it's just like,
yeah. I mean, you know, and my thing too is like, just like being totally honest with you. It's like, it's not like I sat back for a second. I was like, okay, like if, you know, it's like you see tabloids with like, you know, J-Lo or whoever else is married and like these pictures come out and like all these women come forward. Like, I remember like, what's his name? Oh my God. Like, it doesn't matter. There's everybody, right? Like, and all this stuff comes out. I was like, you know, listen, like if all this crap had come out where these women were coming forward, that's a whole nother conversation.
Right.
But it's like, give me a break. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah. I think
yeah.
it's great. And
yeah.
I think it's great. I'm happy that you're on this side of the world.
Yeah, me too.
And you look amazing.
Oh, thanks.
And so you're modeling. You have your leather pants.
I have my blog,
you
Last Night's
kids.
Look.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Yeah.
So tell everybody where they can follow you and find
yeah.
you, because I like your Instagram a lot
oh,
and your
thanks.
Style. And
thanks. Lastnightslook.com is my blog. So that's just like, you know, fun fashion, affordable fashion. So nobody's going to be robbing my closet. It's a lot of That's a good thing these days, people.
Right, really. Seriously.
You know,
yeah.
got some H&M and some Zara in there. It's not all Gucci.
Okay, good.
You know, so it's like affordable fashion that's fun and like skincare stuff and, you know, all that anti-aging fun stuff. And then just my name, Kristen Takeman, for all my social.
Yeah. Now, look, you said anti-age. I just want to say, like, you look so pretty and
oh,
still
my God, that's so nice.
Normal.
Yeah.
It, like
normal meaning?
Like you didn't...
Yeah.
Fill up your face.
Oh, my God. Well, I've got to tell you.
You change your look. Like, you just look, like, great. But
thanks.
You don't look 23, but you
yeah.
look, like, sexy and stylish. And you – is it hard not to avoid those pitfalls of aging?
Okay. Well, I have to tell you a very funny story.
Yes.
I appreciate this. So, like, you know, been getting Botox for a million years. And, like,
right.
Josh and I always talk about filler. He knows nothing about any of this stuff, right?
Okay.
He just knows that I shouldn't ever get filler. So it's, like, been kind of a joke between the two of us
yes.
for years, right? So in the modeling industry, in the modeling world, for a girl in her 40s, Botox is a really good campaign to get. So I have been casting for Botox since I was 35 for 10 years. Guess what, Heather? Every time I go for the Botox casting, I literally have just had Botox. So I'm like, damn it. So that means that because it's a really big job. It's like
right.
pays a ton. And you have to have not had it within a certain amount of time because they do the before and afters and everything.
Got
and
it.
I always miss the Botox by the
window.
Hair and my
yeah.
like whatever. So I arrive in Los Angeles and it's this big thing. I don't really want to move back here, but Josh has wanted to for a long time. And it was like, okay, we're going to do this. And it was like, you know, he was looking for anything to get me here and make me feel comfortable. So we literally get here 3 days later, LA Models calls and they're like, all right, we've got this, you know, casting for you. Send some pictures. Like, cause now it's great. You just take a bunch of snaps or Zoom
yes.
or whatever. And you don't have to like go in for these auditions anymore. I send it in. They're like, oh, it's for a cosmetic company. Heather, I don't think twice about it. I do this all the time. You get it. You don't. No skin off my back, right? Then they're like, you're really on hold for this thing, blah, blah. Turns out I book a filler campaign for Juvederm.
Yes.
So I'd never had filler before. I moved to Los Angeles, like, and within a week of being here, I have filler.
So did you get filler in your face?
Yeah.
Where did they put
it? Just a little here and a little here. But it was like 2 years ago now, a year plus
ago.
So it's gone.
Yeah, it looks great. I mean, if it is, it looks great.
Oh, my God. Are you ready? So, like, I go to the best doctor in Orange County. He, like, totally does, like, a little bit, like, just enough. But I was like, oh, my God. Not only am I getting free filler, but from the best doctor ever, I'm getting paid a fortune. I'm going to send you the campaign.
Yeah.
And it's like, I was like, oh my God, like,
well,
this is meant to be.
I do the Botox, Dr. Kasabian, LiftMD,
yeah.
Beverly
Love.
Hills.
Love.
That's where I go.
No, you look amazing.
And, you know, but
yeah.
hey, it's
yeah.
it's a hard, it's, I feel like
Fine
some
line.
People, yeah, or they get it. I think sometimes the mistake is they get the, they get it again too soon.
Okay.
So, yeah. like, they don't let enough time yeah. go by. That's where I think there's a trouble. Like, or someone in your position, they get offered a yeah. free thing, and they're like, all right, stick
no.
it in. And
oh my,
that's
no.
when, no, you should find a good doctor, yeah. stick with that yeah. doctor, mm-hmm. and then don't get it redone before you need to
no.
get it redone.
No. And any doctor who does it before you need to
yeah.
is
well,
mess.
That's why I think what happens is I think people bounce around mm. because it's offered to them yeah. free if they post about it. And then those people, then it doesn't work out
no.
great.
That's one thing I won't do. I refuse to. I get offered that stuff all like daily. And I'm yeah. always like, nope, sorry. Even hair, color, cut. Like I don't do any, I will pay full price for all of my beauty stuff because, you know, I don't want to mess with that. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But it is hard. That's a whole nother podcast because it's really a fine line. I always like to say for modeling, I need to look good enough to get in the door, but enough my age to get the job. So it's
yeah.
like a fine line of it's always this like push pull of like I you know like you want to look great to get the gig but then you
yeah.
can't look too crazy to keep the gig. It's like a hard it's tough.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah.
I have thoroughly enjoyed getting to know you and talking
yeah,
about
fun.
Your life. Thank
Yay.
You. It was juicy. It was funny. Tell everybody your Instagram.
My name Kristen Takeman.
Follow her you guys. Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.